107 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Sean and Dalton, Dr. Bill with our forecast. Kane will keep us up to date traffic-wise. Reminder, those joining us here in the 8 o'clock hour for the first time, where y'all been? But we'll be on the fantail with the USS Alabama today for Midday Mobile.
Oh, yeah.
So you get a chance to come on out today. That would be cool, but also make sure you come out on Veterans Day. Free admission into the park on Veterans Day, and we'll talk more about the Veterans Day parade going on in downtown Mobile, and we take the morning show on the road on Monday. More details coming up. And let's do this right now. As we get into our discussion with Jeff Poore, y'all can multitask, I think. I would hope you can multitask as you hear Jeff Poore shed some wisdom on last night's election and a whole lot more. Be caller number 6 at 343-0106 because we have win them before you can buy them tickets to Journey and the Pretenders, that show at the Wharf Amphitheater, August 26th. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com in the Wharf box office. But caller number 6 at 343-0106. Those tickets are yours, and good luck. And y'all say good morning to Jeff Poore. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Of course, Jeff with Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, host of the Jeff Poore Show on WVNN in Huntsville. And you were listening. You're connected from your home studio there, and you're listening to the audio from FM Talk 106.5 this morning. What just happened at the end of the 7 o'clock hour, that is the first political ad for us running on radio of the season, as AL1 GOP candidate Jerry Carl's commercial ran, or Jerry ran. Are you you thinking we're getting an early start, or is this about where you thought it would be for this this House seat?
It's certainly early. It's earlier than anybody else in the state right now. So here we are, 1, 2, 3, 4, I declare AL01 war. You know, I guess the question we need to ask is, being up this early, does it really mean anything? Does it move the needle? And it seems to me that race, it's hard to really know who the front runner is right now. And every little bit counts. So any kind of money you throw at it, maybe it does move the needle because everything's so even.
Yeah, you've got, okay. So a couple things going on here, and I want to remind folks, too, that coming up on the 21st, Thursday the 21st, FM Talk 106.5, and we got our news partners at WKRG on board. They're going to do that radio with pictures, that TV thing.
Yeah, it'll never catch on.
We've got the AL1 GOP primary debate, first of the qualified season, and that's going to happen at 6 o'clock on Thursday night in Chickasaw at the J.C. Davis Auditorium. We'll talk more about that coming up. I want y'all to be there. It's going to be a great deal. Plus, you'll be able to hear it here on the radio station and watch it on TV. But as they kind of stage themselves, these five candidates going into that, I think that's important. But also, it's fundraising, right? I mean, there's a reason to get your name out, get your brand, and get momentum, because you're going to fundraise off what you've already done.
Well, I also assume you need to raise your name ID in parts of the district that you don't. You know, the Jerry Carl Southwest Mobile County. Well, what about the folks in Escambia County? Mm-hmm. What about the folks in South Baldwin County? I mean, there's a lot of votes in parts of Baldwin County that have no idea what's going on in Mobile County politics. So I think getting on your airwaves, getting on TV, that's a good thing to do, I guess, in a race like this. Every race is unique, and if we try to look at it, well, no one else is really doing anything with ads in that yet. You know, we've seen a few ads. I don't know about down your way. I have seen a few Arnold Mooney for U.S. Senate ads. But as far as this race, it looks like to be a three-way race, at least as of right now. You need to do something to distinguish yourself. And here's the thing I tell everybody, I find odd about this go-around in AL1, is you don't really have a Baldwin County guy.
Well, you've got, okay, I mean, you do by definition.
Well, I mean, you know, Wes Lambert, right?
Well, and John Castorani. So you have, and he's in Fairhope, and so, but yes, you're talking about Bill Hightower and Jerry Carl and Chris Pringle are all Mobile County folks, right?
I mean, West Mobile County guys, you know. So there's a lot of there's a lot of opportunity to raise your name ID around the rest of the district, other than your home base. If you see, so that to me would make sense to maybe spend a little money at this mm-hmm. point on raising that name ID, because right now you're not really slamming the other opponents, you're not really doing anything like that. You're just trying to make people aware of who you are.
And that's, you know, that's part of this process moving in. And then when the field is winnowed down, that's probably when you'll see more, you know, jabs at the other people in the mix. I think you're right. I mean, it's name brand right now. And that's a little bit AL1, which is, you know, a microcosm, I think, of what we see in the GOP Senate primary. For example, the current representative for AL1, Bradley Byrne, who's running for Senate, is having to take his name from where it's very familiar in Southwest Alabama and go to places up in your end of the state to get that name recognition, right? I mean, he's got to do the same thing just at a statewide level.
They've invested very, very heavily in North Alabama. They've done a lot of events in North Alabama. They've been, you know, and in the other parts of the state other than Mobile, I think. But if you go down Bradley Byrne's schedule, you'll see a lot of Huntsville. You'll see a lot of the Shoals, Coleman, places like that that perhaps aren't as aware of Congressman Bradley Byrne.
What about the elephant in the room? Well, it's bad with GOP politics, but the gorilla in the room, whatever, the Jeff Sessions in the room. What's your feeling on Friday by 5? Will we have added Jeff Sessions' name to the Senate primary?
I still think it's 50-50. I've heard it going both ways. I've been told Thursday is the day you need to expect it, so tomorrow sometime. Have not heard anybody else, you know, just different people that proclaim to be experts on what Jeff Sessions is going to do. I don't know about you guys or if you've even tried, but trying to figure out somebody to talk to that's close to Jeff Sessions, it's like trying to find somebody in the witness protection program. No one really knows what he's going to do. If they tell you they know, I just, at this point, I don't believe him, because all last week we heard he was going to get in last week. Friday night, he was going to make an announcement. Thursday night, he was going to make an announcement. Here we are. It is Wednesday, November the 6th, 2019, and we still have no idea what he's going to do. I will say this. I have heard from people that maybe have talked to him and say that he's still undecided. That is as of Monday. Here it is Wednesday. I don't know if that has changed, but I still think it's a 50-50 proposition. So, hey man, your guess is as good as mine.
Well, we got Secretary of State John Merrill. He says he's pretty sure that Sessions isn't getting in. Seems like a biased opinion.
Did you hear from other people that say the opposite, right? So, it's a strange thing because I still think he just takes Bradley Byrne's spot, right? Mm-hmm. Byrne stays in the race, perhaps, but he's greatly diminished. It's not necessarily an ideological thing. It's that geographic thing. He splits the Mobile vote if he gets in the race, and that's where Bradley Byrne was really flexing his muscle.
What about the, at least many polls have shown, the front runner, former Auburn head football coach Tommy Tuberville? Is he just in cruise mode? Does he have battles ahead? Kind of, what do you see the road look like for him?
I still think no matter who gets in, he remains the front runner. Because they have
no matter who gets in. So if Jeff Sessions is in,
gets in, he is still the front runner.
Interesting.
Everybody's polled it. You talk to people that were flirting with getting in this race early on. You know, maybe perhaps a lieutenant governor from North Alabama, and they're still trailing Tuberville in these theoretical polls. Tuberville. You know, and maybe this changes once Jeff Sessions gets into the race. But as of right now, we know this. We know that that alpha poll that they did right before they endorsed Tuberville, they showed Jeff Sessions in one of their surveys as a candidate, and it had Tommy Tuberville up 36-30 over Jeff Sessions. So, you know, that's not to say he couldn't make up the ground, but it is not a certainty if Jeff Sessions gets in this race that he will defeat Tommy Tuberville.
All right, coming right back, more with Jeff Poor, and congratulations to our winner.
David in Fairhope going to see Journey and the Pretenders next August.
Tickets go on sale Friday. Ticketmaster.com and Wharf Box Office. More chances for you to win coming up tomorrow right here at FM Talk 106.5. All right, 821 FM Talk 106.5. Mobile Mornings. Get right back to our conversation with Jeff Poor. Speaking of conversations, I've been having a lot of conversations lately about the maids. They're referred for a reason. I want to tell you about our experience with the maids and why we're referring people to them. And you can get a free estimate now by calling 344-6626, 344-6626. And so we're in the process now, as I've been saying, we moving out of the home, one home, and moving into our new home. So we've got extra mess to deal with. We've got the mess of moving. We've had Halloween going on. We're coming up to Thanksgiving. I've got two children, multiple dogs. I got a lot of mess out there. You know what? We need time. We have to take kids places. We have work to do. And the maids give you that gift of time and, of course, the gift of clean. And they are so conscientious. My wife was talking about when they came by for our first cleaning at the new house. Four ladies, she said, that each concentrated on a different task in our home. She met back with them after they were finished so they could talk to her about questions they had or to point out problems. Not only did they dig deep in their cleaning, they dug so deep that we had some couches that we bought from the previous owners. And the previous owners kept a nice, clean house. But the maids handed over two Nerf bullets to my wife. My son has not been in with his Nerf gun yet, and their children are in college.
Man,
that's a deep clean. They dug that deep into the couch to find the Nerf darts. Listen, it's been a real treat working with the maids, and you can see what I'm talking about right now when you get that free estimate by calling 344-6626, 344-6626. And Google the maids and see what they can do for you and see why they're referred for a reason. All right, continue our conversation with Jeff Poor. And we talked about AL1. We talked about the Alabama Senate race. Let's talk about those other states. And last night it was Virginia, it was Kentucky, and Mississippi that people were talking about. I guess the easiest one to get through is Mississippi, Tate Reeves winning, I think, you know, fairly decent margin there. I was surprised it was even a question.
Right. I think Trump campaigned at Tupelo earlier this week. It is kind of troubling that it was a question. But there's been some demographic shifts. You can't take it for granted. A little bit like Georgia, I would say, that Democrats are starting to think that they have a they have a puncher's chance at picking up a seat or two. But, you know, Mississippi, not quite there yet. They're probably maybe a generation or two before the Democrat, I think, is a serious threat to win something, especially the election cycle when, you know, there's supposed to be so many people that are out and about voting against the Republicans because of Donald Trump.
Okay, yeah, that's the discussion point. So that I want to, because I'll arrive, we'll finish with Kentucky here, because I think that's where the most of that discussion is going on. Let's go to Virginia. You can't, I don't think there's much spin on that. Virginia, you know, went blue.
Virginia's going to be going blue for the time being. It's lost. It's not really a swing state anymore. The North Alabama, I mean the North Virginia sort of suburbs of D.C., they are part of the Mid-Atlantic now, I think. And that tends to be more of a Democrat-leaning precinct, you know, had the Democrat-leaning precincts.
So this was something that has been coming for a while.
Yeah, and you've seen it. The last big election win Republicans had in Virginia was the Bob McDonnell win. That was right after that 2009 election cycle when Barack Obama had won his won the presidency, and then, you know, we started having those Tea Party waves and those rallies and things of that nature. And then you had the really big one in 2010, but it was that night in 2009. It was, if you recall, it was Bob McDonnell and a guy named Chris Christie in New Jersey that wooed the nation and showed us that Republicans could win in blue states. So it's going to take something like that, I think, for Republicans to do well in Virginia again. It's going to take a Democrat president and then like some kind of gut reaction right after that for Republicans to do well in a state like Virginia again.
All right, let's go to Kentucky. And I'll tell you what, I learned a lot last night watching several different news sources and watching the breakout maps of Kentucky. A pretty interesting state as they showed, you know, counties that were Democrat strongholds and stuff that was, you know, next to Cincinnati and all that, but also areas in East Kentucky that were kind of reminiscent of Alabama's Democrats, you know, holding on to the Democrat for a long time, maybe voting for the Republican in national elections, but voting Democrat back at home, and then other Republican counties. Kentucky was an interesting mix to me of voting patterns. And then we learned about Beshears and that family, the Democrat, and then Bev. And I didn't realize he was that unpopular, but after the end of the night, the spin on one side says it was an indictment of President Trump. Spin from the other side said you wouldn't have believed how big that Bevin would have lost if it wasn't for the president coming to Kentucky. So what are we to take of all this?
I think a couple of things. Obviously, Kentucky's changing. The growth of Louisville has made it a, I think, more Democrat. Louisville's always been a Democrat stronghold. But the other thing I would say is Donald Trump's not on the ballot. If that should tell us one thing, what if Donald Trump had been on that ballot? Might this election result have been a little different?
That he would have been able, because President Trump won big in areas, and that's what they're trying to show. Okay, here are these precincts, here are these counties that President Trump won big in 2016, and then Bevin couldn't hold on to it. How much it goes, I mean, I've been told, I don't have firsthand experience, that he was a very unpopular governor. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Rich, very, very wealthy individual. If you recall, he tried to primary Mitch McConnell once. And that was really, really ugly. He's always been of a guy that's, you know, he by sheer force, he got his way to win the governor's mansion in Kentucky. But I think he's a flawed kid. He's not like a Roy Moore or something, but he can be vulnerable, susceptible to attacks to lower his popularity, to lower his approval rating among voters.
Jeff, we were talking a little bit about Trump not being on the ballot in these races yesterday. I heard a lot of people saying that yesterday's turnout in these states would be indicative of the turnout for the 2020 election, but you really can't compare without having Trump on the actual ballot, right?
I don't think so. I think that Trump being on the ballot means everything. So, you know, Trump could go state to state, but the people want to tell you, the spin, if you watch the Democrat and the cable news and things like that, well, Donald Trump's in trouble.
Right.
And Donald Trump won that state by 30 points. So, how, you know, do we interpret it as, well, Republicans are in trouble, A, or B, Donald Trump really is popular enough to bring out that many voters? We don't know either way. I would say probably a mixture of both. But I still think Donald Trump is still a net positive on a ballot for Republicans, and he is a net negative. He's not like George W. Bush was a drag on the ballot for Republicans. You know, Trump is not. Trump is always going to have a floor and always going to have a certain number of voters that are going to come out for him that may not come out for other elections.
You know, I was thinking about you last night, looking at those results coming in and people talking about the president's effect in that race. And you pointed out, now this is a little bit different. It's apples to Tangelos here. But when President Trump came in and campaigned for Luther Strange and in Alabama, but wasn't enough to change things, that was a very flawed candidate. In Luther Strange, I mean, you could only do so much. I wonder if there's any analog to what happened here in Alabama in that special to look up at Kentucky and what happened yesterday.
Yeah, I think in some ways that Matt Bevin is kind of Kentucky's Luther Strange. Obviously they got their own problems, but they're not comparable in that way. But just in the same kind of, you know, very, very Richie Rich kind of candidate, and just susceptible to all kinds of attacks. Just a perception from even the blue collar Tea Party types that he is, you know, the aristocracy, I think, does give him a lot of similarities to Luther Strange.
Although the aristocracy thing, yeah, that may be it. It's not the money, because they like President Trump, and he's got plenty of that. And then Beshears, I know that he's a legacy candidate there in Kentucky. Well, we'll see today, as I guess they're going to be counting everything down to the last moment here before you would get any kind of final there. Maybe there's a recount, or we'll see. And I'll probably ring your phone on that. Remind folks, if they want to find you online, where's the best place for everything Jeff Poor?
It is twitter.com/Jeff_Poor.
All right, man. We appreciate the update, and we'll see you soon.
Thanks for having me on, Sean.
Always a pleasure, and always great insight from Jeff. All right, we're coming to the phones next, 343-0106, 343-0106. Plus, I will land the plane from that story from last hour. I teased you and said Daisy, as in the BB gun, folks. Well, I give you details here. They're releasing the adult-sized Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas. So
about time.
Yes, that's right. Length of pool will be right for mom and dad, not just the kids. All right, news is next.
Thank you, Kane. 837 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. It's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, I am doing great. Let's talk about what's going on at the lot at McConnell Automotive. I want to hear about the trucks specifically, Mitch. What can you tell me?
Well, Dalton, the coolest thing going on for everybody listening is it's not Friday, obviously. It's only Wednesday. But we've got Black Friday deals on our trucks right now. And these things are coming out early, Dalton. So you get the pick of the litter and literally every color. And the discounts, people will see it if they go to our website, you know, which is McConnellAutomotive.com. You know, the Black Friday savings, Dalton, are usually the biggest of the year. And we're talking about $11,000 off this new truck. And people have seen the six-function tailgate. GMC Dalton's the only one that's got it. And, man, I just want everybody to come out and check out the truck, drive it. You know, I say don't buy a Ford. Don't buy the new Ram. Those are great trucks. But don't buy one of those till you drive a GMC. And, Dalton, we've also got 20% off the Buick Encore. And just all across the board, Black Friday savings are already here at McConnell, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
Y'all have a good one, Dalton.
That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 8:38, and grab some calls and text at 343-0106, 343-0106. It's interesting to see one of the narratives coming off of last night is the suburban slide.
Mm-hmm.
And they attach it in so many stories, Trump's suburban slide. But I'm not asking this rhetorically like many others in talk radio will. Honestly, how much of what happened in Virginia was that a referendum on President Trump? Might be. Okay, let's move to Kentucky. How much was that a referendum? I don't know. I mean, there's many people that are so sure of themselves of something that hasn't happened. And I keep hearkening back to people that were sure of themselves in 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And polling, and this could never, you know. So because President Trump is very different than many other Republicans, and there's parts of that I have lamented over time, you know. Mm-hmm. But that's part of that populist vibe. Is every Republican running for office, is that some kind of litmus test for the support that will be there or not be there in 2020 for President Trump? I don't know. You can say that in every state. You might be able to make that argument in Virginia. Is that the same with people in Kentucky? Is that the same in Mississippi?
You know, if Trump had barely won Kentucky in 2016, maybe you could say, I mean, he won by 30 points in Kentucky. And I think a lot of people that voted for Trump, a lot were voting for the party, but I think more people voted for Trump, not for the Republican Party.
I agree.
And I don't know a whole lot about the state politics there in Kentucky, but from what I'm reading this morning, it seems like Bevin was pretty unpopular with a lot of the union groups he was going after. And, you know, there's a lot of union workers there in Kentucky. And it seemed like he was starting a lot of fights. And I think they were trying to push medical marijuana and the gambling industry there. And he was turning against those and anti both of those. So I'm not sure how his politics specifically line up with Trump. But remember, when Trump ran, he was talking about getting a lot of Republicans out of the swamp, too. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean Bevin, but it means he is not specifically pulling in just people that want to vote for Republicans, I don't think.
That's for sure. And I tell you, Kentucky-wise, it's just from last night, I'm interested. Red states and blue states bore me. Those that are purple or changed, like Colorado has been very interesting to me for the last two cycles. Now I'm going to put Kentucky on that list. All right, to the phones, and George is in Mobile. He's up first. Hey, George.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man.
Yeah, I understand the theory of people saying, well, if Kentucky goes back to the Democrats, that maybe it's an indictment on Trump. But I'm going to actually give it a little different spin. I think when you look at a lot of these people where they have these, a lot of groups come in and they poll them and ask them, what are you thinking? And then they say, okay, what is your normal voting pattern? And they honestly tell you, well, sometimes I vote for Democrat, sometimes I vote mm-hmm. for Republican. So they're not. Most of us, when we go to the polls, we're like always Republican or always Democrat. But when you have these independent people out there that go back and forth, I think they honestly do like a check and balance system. And that's why you see when a president is in like Trump, and you reference the Virginia situation after Obama, and then when Obama was elected, you know, Virginia flipped those couple of spaces and New Jersey went to a Republican. I think that the people in those situations think if it's close, you know, not like a Mississippi or an Alabama, but if it's close, then you have those people that think, well, I can put a Democrat in against a Republican in the governorship, so then that way they don't run everything.
Mm-hmm.
and you're not getting everything you want. And same with the House. You know, you put Trump in the presidency, you know, people are more apt to say, okay, let me put a Democrat-controlled House in there so that it does act as a check and balance, so that the Republicans aren't running the whole show and everything they want in their agenda just goes through steadfast.
Smart thoughts there, George. I agree with you. I mean, I even say it here in Alabama, where obviously it's not in question, but and we're going to visit this tomorrow on the show. My interest, and people are like, why do you care so much about what's going on with the Alabama Democrat Party? Because I feel there should be a viable Alabama Democrat Party. I'm a conservative guy, but I still think a viable, modern, you know, not like California modern, but Alabama version of Democrat Party, one sword sharpens another. I think a lot of people think like that, George.
Well, I agree. And like I said, I mean, you know, when you do these kind of polls, when they did the Frank Luntz and now they've done some on CNN or whatever else, and they ask these people that are there, and they'll tell you, well, I voted for, you know, Clinton, then I voted for Bush, then I voted for Obama, and now I voted for Trump. Mm-hmm. And they're back and forth, you know, they do want people to work together. They do want, you know, this checks and balance system. And I think in a lot of these cases, that's what ends up happening. You know, Trump comes in and to Kentucky and supports the governor or the guy, you know, running.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, okay, you know, well, maybe I like Trump, but that doesn't mean that I want to put his guy in position.
Right.
Because I don't want him running my federal government and my state government.
There you go. George, appreciate the call. And, you know, and part of this, and thanks, call back. I enjoy your calls. This is the idea that people always just vote ticket. You might know something at a local level that somebody else doesn't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not claiming to know Kentucky politics. I'm now interested in Kentucky politics because of looking at those electoral maps last night and seeing changes. And it's cool because they have embeds of Democrats in rural areas, but then Republicans in some suburbs and Democrats in other suburbs. And it was really interesting.
Well, let's compare Kentucky to something that happened recently here in our state with Doug Jones beating mm-hmm. Roy Moore. Sometimes it has a lot to do with the specific candidates. Was
yep.
Doug Jones winning indicative of Alabama turning blue?
Doug Jones would not have won if there were not Republicans staying home or voting for Doug Jones.
And I looked up some, there were some approval ratings for Bevin earlier this year. And you know how they do those rankings of every single governor from all the states. He had the worst numbers among all governors as far as approval ratings. A 56% disapproval rating back in July of this year compared to just 32% who approve. A 40% disapproval rating among Republicans in Kentucky. That's what this Governor Bevin was running on there. And then you look coming up with some Senate races. McConnell was in that same poll. He was listed as the least popular senator in the nation. He had only an approval rating of 36%, disapproval of 50%. Rand Paul, the other senator from there mm-hmm. in Kentucky, he was ranked number 9 on the list of least popular senators. So both senators
and they're
and
very
the governor,
different. They're very different Republican senators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are truly, if you had to define the edges of where the Republican electorate is, McConnell and Paul are very different.
Yeah.
McConnell is a, you know, straight up old school Washington, you know, let's get things done in the old fashioned way. Got Rand Paul that either he's the same no matter who's in office. And it's been a very libertarian leaning Republican message. Speaking of which, let me go ahead. I thought about this last night. I don't know I haven't seen any stories out about it, but maybe I, you know, wear this on my sleeve a little bit, as libertarians will often be called the spoilers for Republicans. And as younger conservative voters have split with the Republicans on social issues, you know, they'll go libertarian. Libertarian candidate Hicks there in Kentucky got 2% of the vote. So if you make the assumption that I don't think it's fair because there are some people that are libertarian that wouldn't go vote for a Republican ever. But if you say, hey, those are younger, could be Republican voters, and that 2% went to Bevin, then Bevin wins this thing. So it's, you see these, they'll call it a spoiler. I hate to call it a spoiler because those are people, and that's their opinion. That's their vote. That's what they believe. Maybe you should have done a better job of recruiting them. But yeah, I'm sure at some point when they get done with blaming President Trump for Kentucky, people start looking at the libertarian angle. Why don't you, you know, because if those libertarian, that libertarian wasn't there, and you would assume, I don't know that you can do this, but those 28,000 folks went and voted for a Republican, then Bevin would have won. So that's all. Yeah, listen, everybody's always lined up to blame the libertarians, right? Libertarians.
You like it though.
Yeah. People can hack it. All right, coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings. And I will do the Daisy BB gun story. I'm not going to say whether there's somebody on the text line who seems to say, oh, well, it's already a thing. Everybody knows about it. Ron, I'm not listening to you. I'm going to do the story coming up next. Y'all stay right there. Right, 853 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Hey, oh, that's my buddy Trey, and he's been doing this with 1-800-GOT-JUNK 11 years in business, Mobile and Baldwin County, doing great work for probably one of your neighbors, one of your relatives. Can do the junk removal pretty much anywhere you got junk. We talk about houses and getting the junk out of your house, which this time of year, heading in the holidays, that's important. Get the junk out so your kinfolk don't talk about you. Maybe even open up that guest room instead of having it piled with boxes. Have it somewhere people can sleep. Or if you got stuff in the attic or around the house, outside the house, you got a above-ground pool you want gone, get a swing set, whatever. He can handle that as well. Storage unit you want cleaned out, he can do that. House you're getting ready to sell, he can do that. If you've got an office or a shop full of junk, he can handle that. Make that appointment, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, and get Trey and the crew to come out and see what they can do for you. All right, as we go into this, I just want to, can I roll this? Can I roll the cut here?
What would you like for Christmas?
Horrified. I heard myself blurted out.
I want an official Red Ryder Carbine Action 200 Yard Range Ball Air Rifle.
Ooh.
And what happens?
No. Shoot your eye out.
Oh, no. It was the classic mother BB gun block.
Okay. So, obviously, from a Christmas story and a reference to the Red Ryder BB gun, I said this morning that Daisy has now released an adult-sized Red Ryder BB gun for Christmas for a limited time. Daisy is releasing an adult version of the classic Red Ryder BB gun, almost identical to the version that many of us had as kids. This one's just bigger, longer length of pull and all that. New models made for the adult, kid, and all of us. The specs online say it's 36.75 inches long, shoots up to 195 yards. That's if you get the good arc on it, at 350 feet per second. The Red Ryder was never the... It was a classic, but it was never a Crossman or a Benjamin or Sheridan. It was more for style than it was for speed of BB or, you know.
Well, it was the Q-tip brand of BB guns.
Yes, it's a classic.
Call your BB gun a Red Ryder.
Yes, and there's, yeah, you're right. And some that are called Red Ryders are not. We've got two in the house right now. I've got the super short one, like the little kid's one, mm-hmm. and then the next bigger one. And believe me, I'll be adding the adult one pretty soon. And yes, Ron on the text line has already ordered his. I just checked at Amazon. It's $48, and because we have the Prime, I can have it here by tomorrow.
That's
Daisy
awesome.
Daisy adult Red Ryder BB rifle, $48.87 right now. Shipping, Prime shipping delivers tomorrow.
I may or may not have shot a BB gun in my backyard here recently, but
what are
the rules on that in Mobile County? Mobile.
Can't do it.
City of Mobile. No?
Can't do it.
Okay.
So.
Good thing I haven't.
Yes. I don't want you to get in trouble. All right. Grab a quick call here before we wrap it up for this portion of our day. By the way, reminder, heading out to the fantail of the USS Alabama, doing the show live from Battleship Memorial Park today for Midday Mobile. Kevin is in Mobile and up next. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good,
you
man.
You know, with the party lines being drawn so tight right now, you know, my grandfather was a staunch Democrat. I think he voted for Ronald Reagan, and that was it ever in his life. So. But where's that John F. Kennedy Democrat? You know, because I'm one of these guys, I'm kind of like you, I can listen to both sides there. You can pull some good or bad out of both right there. But where's that John F. Kennedy Democrat South that is for America, pro-America, of course, asking people what they can do for their country, you know, pro-business, of course, a decorated war hero. You know, why cannot the Democratic Party get somebody that's just not ultra-crazy? I mean, at least to make it to where it would be a little more balanced there, where somebody could say, okay, you know, I may not like President Trump as a person, but as a politician or non-politician, he's doing a great job for our economy right here. You know, instead of being pro-choice here, he's pro-life. But there's nobody on the Democratic side that even came up to say, hey, let's do this. Like, they're almost afraid to really say what they think. I think there's somebody out there that could say, hey, this is what I'm about, but I know I won't be a nominee because I'm just not so far left.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we'll just, it's funny you said that, because we're going to talk about this a lot tomorrow with my buddy Robert Kennedy Jr., and we'll do a special on tomorrow's Midday Mobile about the Alabama Democrat Party and, you know, what would be a winning candidate. I think about Mississippi with Hood, who was running on the Democrat ticket, had none of the national Democrats come in to speak for him. And I think that goes to, is there, and this is a question, is there a chance for some kind of Democrat that doesn't reflect the national very far left angle of the Democrats to run and win in places? I don't know how Beshears ran his campaign in Kentucky. Maybe he did.
In the presidential race, I'd say Tulsi Gabbard's about as close as you'll get on the Democrat side for that. Has a lot of stuff I disagree with, though, that she believes in.
All right. We'll do this again at noon. Mike Gallagher on the way.